We're glad to have you here today on this third Sunday of July, kind of the dead middle of the summer. Here we are, and we're about to embark on something today we're calling our summer learning experience. I'm glad you're here and a part of this. It's going to be unique and challenging. We're just something kind of out of the box, a little different than the way things do things and the way we do things. And part of what I love about our church and the way we are right now is that that is the kind of church we are. We're willing to try something different, try something new, try a different challenge in order to do whatever we need to provoke life change within us. The third Sunday of July is kind of a funny Sunday for me in that if you had been here 22 years ago, and of course the building wasn't here, but if you were at Bethel Baptist Church 22 years ago today, there would have been this skinny little 32-year-old guy who was preaching his very first sermon as the pastor of this church. Kind of crazy. I think back to it. I mean, I'd love to spend about an hour just telling you all the things that were different, because they were different. The things like, you know, sitting up behind the pulpit before you came up to preach, and the blue suit that I wore, one of three that I had that I went through a rotation, all that kind of stuff. But one of the biggest things that I've loved about our church over the years is we developed a mentality, really a core value that says the message never changes. And that's been part of who we've been for 130-some years. The message never changes, but methods change in order to continue to reach the ears of the people of the times. Now, having said that, I say the methods change, and yet it's funny that every time we change a method, we go back to something we used to do, something that was effective. And what we're doing today is going back to something, actually, that Jesus did incredibly effectively. Something I think that from time to time, preachers have moved away from, and they need to move back toward. If you just go ahead and do an analysis of the teaching of Jesus in the Gospels, what you'll find is that the majority of his teaching is not a sermon, 3 points, poem, all that kind of stuff. A lot of his teaching is stories. Just telling stories that were incredibly compelling. And sometimes he would say, and this is what the story means. And sometimes he'd end and drop the mic and walk away. And everybody just kind of go, what? And he let them brew on it and think about it and stew on it until they could locate themselves in the story. One of the beautiful, beautiful stories he told, it was actually a collection of three, found in Luke chapter 15. And that third of the three stories is about a lost son. You can debate what the story is really about. Is the story about the lost son? Is the story about the oldest son who was never lost? Or maybe he really was because he didn't get the heart of the Father. Or is the story about the Father himself and just the extravagant love that he had for his children? I think at different seasons of our lives, and this is part of what's so beautiful about the story of Jesus, stories of Jesus, is that different things hit us at different times where we are in our particular part of the journey. So we're embarking on several weeks of looking at this story in Luke 15. And we're going to do it through a combination of live teaching as well as some episodes that are presented to us on the screen. And the screen episodes are not teaching so much as they are the presentation of stories. Three stories. Three prodigals. Three people who were really, in a sense, living a good life. The good life that God intended for them. And with all three of the people, they started to develop this itch inside that said, this is good, I guess, but I want better. I want out there. I want something more. And just like what happened to Adam and Eve in this place that God declared very good, the serpent whispered, but there's better. There's better out there. There's something more out there. And so we're going to watch these three people throughout the course of the next several weeks walk through their wander away from the good life of God, and then whether or not they ultimately wander back. Because here's the thing about prodigals. God leaves it in the hands of the prodigal to determine whether or not they're going to come back home. He doesn't force them to come back home. He gives them the opportunity to come back home. And sometimes they do and sometimes they don't. To assist you in this journey, we talked last week about an action journal. We encourage you to get one. They're at the Welcome Center today on Amazon. They're $7.58. We're giving them to you for $7. And we start the work in these tomorrow, but we want to make sure that's in your hand. And the other thing that we talked about last week was finding someone to do the book with, a little check-in, sit down to coffee, or even just connect over the phone, and hey, what did you get out of this week? What did you get out of the teach? What did you get out of what you did in the book? Each of the entries involve a morning and an evening entry. Let's face it, none of us do all this thing. Well, let's be real. I mean, so there's going to be a day you're going to miss. There's going to be an entry you're going to skip. Don't worry, nobody's watching. Well, Google might be, but nobody else is watching, we promise. And you're just getting out of it what you can get out of it, okay? So go ahead and get out of it what you can and use this as an opportunity, a real summer learning experience to grow and be challenged. So this video is a little longer than the clip that we normally show. Just letting you know that up front so that you're not kind of sitting there going, isn't it over yet? It's going to go for a bit, okay? This is the longest of all of them. It sets up the stories. And then after that, Brian will be coming up with a wrap-up teach, and we'll go from there. So here we go. Get ready for an adventure.
God's original intent was for human life to be lived in God's house, the Father's house. He created us to live with Him, to be with Him. Every human's been given the invitation to live the good life with the Father in His house. What do we know about the Father's house? Jesus, the ultimate authority on the Father, tells us about the Father's house in John chapter 14. Read with me. He says, "My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you with me, that you may also be where I am." First, we have it on good authority that the Father is and that He has a house. Think about it. Jesus, who came from the Father and returned to the Father, told us while He was here of a place called the Father's house. We know that it's a place which right now, today, currently, Jesus is. He's involved in preparing a space for every one of the Father's children. We also know that one day He'll come back and He'll take us with Him. So one expression of the Father's house is an eternal dwelling place. He also created the house in which we currently reside. If you were to go back to Genesis chapter 1 and 2, you'd see that God carefully crafted every detail of the space in which we live today. This house, creation, is a home He made for His human family. I'm struck by the word that is used time and time again to describe every aspect of the house, creation, that He made. The word is good. It was good. So I want to get you guys involved a little bit because I know we can get a little sleepy after movies and whatever, so I don't see anybody knocked off yet, but we're going to do a little exercise, and I'm going to say something from Genesis chapter 1 from the creation story. Rather than just telling you, I'm going to say what it was, and then I want you to respond, it was good, all right? So, for example, I'll say light and darkness. It was good. Dry ground. Vegetation. Sun, moon, and stars. Creatures of the water and the air. Livestock animals. The St. Louis Cardinals. So close. I was so stinking close. While we're in this little sidebar here, Cubs fans, I know Spanish is a foreign language, and it's really hard, but it's Jose Quintana. You can even say Quintana. It's not Quintana. I know you like Brady Quinn, Notre Dame fans, and some of you may have watched Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman. Quintana, all right? Now that that's out of the way. Then we get to humans. And the Bible says, God saw all that He had made. And it was very good. And then there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. You may find yourself wondering about the hidden, deep meaning of the word good in Hebrew. The main Old Testament word for good and goodness come from the Hebrew word tov. Like our word good, it can be used in a moral sense, like good versus evil, and it can also be used to assign value, something that is pleasing, based fundamentally in its excellence. Clearly, God is not making a moral judgment here when he talks about his creation. This good is not about rightness and wrongness. He's using the most comprehensive term possible to proclaim the fundamental excellence of life with him in his house. It is good. There's one other sense of God's house. We've seen that there is an eternal house, heaven. There's a temporal house, earth. But there's also a real sense of God himself being our house. Life at home with God. Look at 1 Peter 3:18. Christ suffered for our sins once for all time. He never sinned. But he died for sinners to bring you safely home to God. He suffered a physical death, but he was raised to life in the Spirit. That verse is not talking about a place like heaven or earth, as much as it is talking about dwelling in, living in God himself. God is our house. He is our home. Moses starts Psalm 90 by declaring, "Lord, through all the generations, you have been my home." Let's go back to that word good. David invites us in Psalm 34 to experientially test out God's goodness. He says in verse 1, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." Why is heaven good? Why is creation good? Because it all flows from a Father whose fundamental nature is one of goodness. So you start to understand that the serpent, the enemy of our souls, has his work cut out for him. God is good. Heaven is good. Creation is good. What does the serpent have to do to get our prodigal heart to wander away from the good Father and his good house? He has to get us to doubt God's fundamental goodness, and he has to get us to want something more than what is good. He plants in us doubt that the Father really is good, and then he whispers in our ears that we can find something better. Somewhere out there, there's something better. Away from the Father, away from the good house. In reality, I mean, that sounds pretty good, but in reality, most of us are bored with good. We live in such a sensationalized society that good is never enough. We want more. We want better. We want different. And so, for as good as the Father's house may be, we ask for our inheritance and head down the path toward better. That's John Beaker's lesson next week. So he's going to teach us about the distant country. So let's bring it back. Let's land here today. If the Father is good and his house is good, why are you itching for something else? What lie of the serpent are you taking in that's inviting you to something you believe will be better? For all of us, it's time to stop and take in David's counsel. Taste and see that the Lord is good. He really is a good, good Father. He offers you the good life. But what will it take for you to find satisfaction in the Father's house? One more thought before we close. Jesus clearly intended this story to be seen as a story about people who are lost. For many of us, we see this parable through evangelistic eyes. It's bringing lost people home to God. My concern is that if you only see it through evangelistic eyes, you might be tempted to think, well, I've trusted in Christ as my forgiver and leader, so I'm home. I'm good. I'm set. We need to see that lostness is about more than just salvation. Our hearts are prone to wander. We're imperfect. Even once we come back home, our hearts are prone to wander. Not wander away from salvation, but wander away from the good life, toward that which we believe might be better. We lose a taste for the goodness of the Father and for the good life. We wander. This series is for all of us. Even if you're home, your heart can be enticed by the serpent to look toward distant horizons for a better life rather than the good one God has prepared for you. So again, let me say, for all of us, it's time to stop and take in David's counsel. Taste and see that the Lord is good. He really is a good, good Father. And He offers you a good life. What will it take for you to find satisfaction in the Father's house? Let's pray. God, we know that sin has separated us from you, that we are imperfect, and that we are prone to wander. God, you've offered us this wonderful gift, this good, good gift, because you are a good, good Father. Although many of us have received it, we're still prone to wander from your house. I pray that we would see you as that good, good Father running towards us when we choose to come back home. I pray for us, for Southfield, for the church as a whole, that we would start to realize the good, good gift that we have and stay by your side rather than wandering. We pray this in your name. Amen. Amen.
Hey, be nice if I put on a mic.
Sorry, I have my flip-flops on today. I've lost my mind. So anyway, you're not leaving, are you? Stay close. I like
I'm
you.
Staying.
It's nice to have you around. No, that's scary. Servers are coming right now to receive the offering. And while they're doing that, just speaking of offering, we're doing something later today that some of you will become aware of and wonder what happened. So we're testing out a new system for recording gifts that come into the church. Part of what's really cool about the way this works is if we have your email on record, and when they go ahead and make that entry and ultimately finish what's called their batch, it's actually going to send out an email receipt saying, this is what you gave today. So I didn't want you to be surprised later today. You've never received one of those before, and you're like, wait, what's this? What's going on? So if that happens, just don't be surprised, and you can go ahead and check it for accuracy and all that kind of stuff. So later this week, Friday, I believe, you're headed out of here, going north. I had a little conversation with Mary Stroman this past week, text-wise. She and Ron moved up about 6 hours north and are enjoying Wisconsin, and she keeps posting these pictures that are provoking what the Bible calls jealousy, and I've had to do a lot of repenting and all, and, you know, whatever. So she texted me something. I'm like, please, stop the stupid photos. I can't do this anymore. And she said, well, you'd feel good to know it didn't get above 60 degrees today. And I went, yes. All right, so anyway, headed off to Baraboo, which is in that neighborhood. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what's going on?
Yeah, so again, our high schoolers are heading up to Omega. Today is actually the last day to register. So again, if you've been waiting, thinking, whatever, please come talk to me or to one of the leaders, because we want everybody to come. This is going to be a great trip for the last time. We go with Manuka Bible and Grace Bible. We connect with students from other groups that they're going to see wandering the halls of the same schools that they go to. We get some great teaching this year. It's going to be very different from what they're used to. But again, we leave Friday, we come back Monday. So it's a nice little weekend trip where we get away, get to be outside, get to do some different stuff. So again, if you've been to Omega before, we're kind of flipping the script on the way we do things. So it's going to be a really cool time. Be sure to sign up today because, again, today is the last day that we're allowed to accept registrations because expeditions, they need to know how many we have coming. All right? Continuing with high school, this afternoon we are here from 12 to 2, but you need to make sure that you grab lunch before. So if you're going to leave, make sure you grab lunch and come back. If you know anybody who's going to be at second service, make sure they know. We're eating and then coming back around noon.
You had something else, too, didn't you? What about
I do have something
high?
Else. Thank you for reminding me. Junior high, this Wednesday, Refuge was going to go to Splash Station. We had a severe lack of RSVPs, so what we're going to do is actually just come here. So instead of going to Splash Station, we are going to be here at our normal time. All right. So normal time, 6:30 to 8:30, we will be here for a movie night.
Cool. So again, to remind you, if you didn't get your book yet, make sure you get one today at the Welcome Center. And you can, if you want, you can go home today and start it right away. You can start tomorrow. There are 5 days worth of entries, so they give you 2 days to kind of have a break, morning and evening, answer them. Some people like to just read and not even write. That's totally up to you, the way you handle it. And then I look forward to hearing the way your partnerships go in this, whether you're just getting together with a friend. I know there are a couple of small groups that have formed around this and whatever, so it'll be cool to see where it goes. Every Sunday when we come to the end, we're going to have just a brief wrap again from the video series. So we're going to play that now, and then we'll dismiss.